Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm your host, John Stabler, and today is the 14th of July 2011. And with me, as usual, my co-host, Stephen Brett.
Good evening.
And Trevor Williams.
Hello.
Sorry, there's no funny intros this week.
Just because you're lazy.
I've just been too busy to write them. I came up with something, but it wasn't funny enough. So rather than come across as a rubbish comedian...
Which you will do on Monday evening.
You got my segue, Steve.
You're preparing.
Did you like that?
The Monday evening thing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well done.
You analysed it too much.
Yeah, we've all segued into what's happening on Monday. We're doing it now, lest we forget towards the end of the podcast. Basically, Skeptics in the Pub in Cardiff is in the Promised Land. It's every Thursday. Third Monday. So I was thinking of the Swansea Skeptics for a second then. Every third Monday. But this month, they're doing something for the Cardiff Comedy Festival, and it's called Chaos Theory, A Night of Science Comedy, and this is the regular organiser of Skeptics in the Pub, Dean Burnett. He's organised it. He's a comedian, or as he describes it, he does comedy. That way, if he's not funny, he's got a get out clause. Which I haven't worked out what mine's going to be yet. But yeah, so this is on Monday, which is the 18th. So if anybody's listening in the area, they're going to be there. You're going to be there, Steve.
I'm going to be there. So I've got the get out for you. Just tell them Dean wrote your material.
Oh, I like it. Ah, nice.
I don't have a get out. Dean says, I'm a neuroscientist, but I also does the comedy and that.
Right.
And you can say, I'm IT specialist computing boffin and that, but I do some comedy. What am I going to say?
You had a hypo and it all came.
Yeah, you just need to feign a fit, dude. You've got the best excuse.
I could be the most entertaining by default.
Well, or you could go down the line of, when you had a hypo, it all came to you. All the knowledge.
Right. This was funny when my blood sugar was very, very low. That's what I'm telling. And I've tried to make it all sciencey. I wrote one, supposed to be all sciencey, turned out to be knob gags. I wrote one on a different subject, tried to be sciencey, all knob gags. I don't know.
And the thing is, I've got a list here of the things that are going to be discussed. Here we are. One of the skits is going to be, out of all the animals, which is the sexiest? Is that yours, Trev?
No.
Me,
no.
Obviously.
I think they're talking about Animal Kingdom excluding humans.
Oh, okay.
So it's not you. What is the most rational use of tattoos?
That's me, yeah.
That's you. Okay. Which band is the greatest in history? Is that science? That's pretty subjective music.
It's very subjective.
Yeah. How does quantum theory intersect with politics? Now, that's me, and I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of worried about doing this because I suddenly realise that a lot of my gags rely on the fact that you have some awareness of some basic concepts of quantum mechanics. And considering that, you're turning up, Steve.
Exactly.
My mother-in-law.
But what you want to do to appease us plebs is just start with, oh boy.
Well, what I
or
might...
finish with, oh boy.
Yeah, what I might just do is ask Trev to just give me all his knob gags. So I can just insert
them. Is it start
them.
And finish with, oh boy, so that you can say that wasn't me up there, that was Sam Beckett off of Constance.
Exactly, exactly.
Who was ruining the gig for me. That's brilliant.
Exactly. You see, Sam, Beckett, who is, a leading, quantum leap physicist or whatever he is, but obviously his Swiss cheese memory let him down at, his defining hour.
You know what, Steve? I think that says a lot about you, that when somebody says the word quantum, the first thing you think
quantum
of,
leap, of course
is a cheesy sci-fi series from the
90s. Of course it is. What else am I supposed to think of?
Well, you know...
You
if...
mean cheesy. Hey...
No, I did like Quantum Leap.
It lasted for 5 years, and there were at least 6 good episodes.
And I was upset the last episode.
Last episode was a classic.
Yeah,
but it was excellent.
But watch it if you haven't seen it. What happens when your brain suddenly backfires? Are you doing 2, Trev?
No, what happens when your brain suddenly backfires is watching me.
Ah, right, okay.
So that's a demonstration.
It's a 2-for-1, okay.
A set, yeah.
What does a psychic medium do with the rest of their time? Good question. What's the best internal organ to use as a cricket ball? Can you get 5 minutes out of that? I don't know. And how do you deal with an enraged lesbian? Now, again, I'm saying, where's the science in that? And also, I would say, don't come onto her in a lift. But That's a joke. Let me qualify that with a joke before I get hounded out of TAM or something like that, you know, for being, you know, a twat.
So just once again, we're going to just say that was a joke, yeah?
Yeah.
Just turn up on Monday night.
I'm thinking of more gags, you know. I could have just done a whole set on, you know, skeptics and just ripping into everybody. That could have been a lot of fun.
It's really worrying, though, because so far we've had some fantastic speakers talking about scientific and skeptical issues. But this time, we're not necessarily going to have a room full of skeptics. We're going to have a room full of people that know the people who are going to be doing the bits. You know, first stand-up. There'll be lots of support. So we're going to have lots of scientific skeptical references, like, and throw them out there, and it'll fall on a completely dead audience.
I think there'll be plenty of geeks there, Trev, don't worry.
Yeah. Keep those knob gags on backup.
I'll just wink at you, Steve, and you start laughing like a drain, like as if you know what's going on.
Like I normally do anyway,
Cheers. And then maybe it'll start off a sort of Mexican wave.
Yeah, I can do that, mate. Yeah, I'm pro at that. That's fine.
Either that, or you look like a bit of a dick, just laughing to yourself hysterically.
Yeah, but then people laugh at me then when I'm on a stand-up going, "Whoop whoop, yeah, woohoo!"
That'll make it entertaining for you and me, anyway.
So, should we move on to the news, or
let's move on to the news?
let's just talk bollocks for another hour. No problem. Okay, I wanted to bring this story up. If you don't mind, and because I know that you're keen to bring something up early, Trev, can I squeeze a quick one in?
You may do a story. I'm not going to just say yes to an innuendo like that. You have to work harder.
This is from Feringula, but it was also featured on BBC News, and PZ says his title is Raising Consciousness, One Colander at a Time. This is the story of a gentleman in Austria who read through the driving license photo requirements and saw that there was an exemption for confessional reasons. This obviously covers lots of religious garb, headgear, whatever you want to call it. And he obviously, as an atheist, he thought, well, you know, I could have some fun.
That's
with
not
it.
Strictly true. He's not an atheist, is he? He's a pastafarian.
Well, in the BBC News article, he identifies himself as an atheist. However, for the purposes of his driving license, he identified as a pastafarian.
So he's just lied to the BBC and his government can read that.
No, no. Hey, he's allowed to change his mind. What if he was actually a pastafarian and now he renounced it? You know.
Fair
Apparently,
enough.
The pastafarian intelligent design is very it's just not convincing.
Okay.
Touched by his noodly appendage. So he put a colander on his head and took a picture. And in the end, they had to give him his license with his picture of a colander on his head. Which, you know, good win. But the bad, or the downside to the story, is that he had to undergo a psychological test to make sure he's fit to drive. Now, I'm sure you got something to say about that, Trev.
Hey, that's not the reason I'm not allowed a driving license. apparently, there have been some people whinging on the internet about this, saying it's not really a victory for skepticism at all, because there wasn't anything saying that you couldn't have stuff on your head and there's a religious exemption at all. Yeah. And you have to look in the rules, and it says passport rules apply, and on the Austrian passport regulations it says about there's only a religious exemption, so he's kind of getting past it with that. But even if he doesn't, it's an international story about somebody saying religious tradition is stupid. And so why shouldn't I?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from the guy. There are people who are saying, oh, he's just a dreadful self-publicist. But I think it's a fairly good reason for publicity. So, I don't mind.
What did you think about him having to undergo a psychological evaluation, though?
I think that's fair enough, actually, because...
So do you think anybody wants to wear confessional items?
Yeah, that was my point.
In their photos, should have to undergo psychological tests.
To be honest, if the Pope turned up and said, "I want to wear my hat in a photo," I think I'd want to give him a psychological evaluation. So, yeah. Anyone who...
The question, why do you care so much, is a hard one to answer. Because it doesn't really matter, but there is a kind of a point of principle, and so I'm glad he went through it.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's not really a devout country anyway. There wasn't ever going to be that much of a problem, but they brought the issue up.
Where was it? I guess Austria, wasn't it?
Austria, yeah.
Wasn't it Austria which banned the minarets, or was that Switzerland?
Has anyone...
Have they banned them now, have they? I
get confused, so do forgive me, and I know you know that anyway. It was either Switzerland or Austria. I think it might be Switzerland, though.
I think it's Switzerland. It's just no new minarets, isn't it?
Yeah, no new minarets, yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, Trev, you get a story now.
Cool. Okay, yeah. In one of the most strident pieces of sexual advice ever given to the British public concerning which holes it is acceptable for a man to explore on a first sexual encounter with a lady, the Sun advised the nation, Brown wrong on Wednesday. Okay, so it wasn't actually a weird homophobic Puritan piece of editorial outrage, which is weird for the Sun.
I just thought it was a delayed piece on the last Labour government.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Totally. And if it were just that, that's fine. Yeah, we all thought that. You're just a bit out of date. But it was some of the weirdest, most ineffectual defence I've ever heard. In all of the appalling, indefensible practices of which News International journalists have been accused, the Sun apparently...
Well, hang on, Trev. It's not just news. It was just the news of the world. It's only the news of the world which is guilty of these terrible things.
What about the Times?
The Sun have come out in defence saying, what was it? They say they're innocent of illegally obtaining the medical records of Gordon Brown's child. But, you know, still very likely guilty of all kinds of other shit.
I like how they're painting it
as a victory. It feels like, you know, Joseph Mengele insisting that he clearly didn't sodomise the Easter Bunny, so why not let him off for all that other shit he did?
So, hang on, you're seriously telling me that the Sun told people that no back doors on the first date?
Yeah. Well, on their front page, in big, big letters, it just said Brown wrong.
Yeah.
What? It made the front page as well?
It was a big headline story, Brown wrong.
On Wednesday.
Wow, I didn't see that.
Because the backstory to it was that Gordon Brown has accused them, obviously, of obtaining his son's medical records in an illegal manner. And so their response to it was, no, he's wrong.
Yeah, it was a different source. Ah, and we told you before we ran it, and you were fine with it. I think, oh, you bastards, go ahead and run it, what do I care? Isn't really an agreement.
More of just an admission.
You know, the fact that we actually still illegally obtained your son's medical records.
Yeah, because...
Whether you agree to us using them or not is hardly a point of principle, is it, you know?
And one of his kids was terminal as well, and they found that out. They haven't said how they got that, because that one is still apparently...
I'm sure the police are probably still interested in that one.
So I'm not going to say anything about that one, but you know...
Come on, just wildly speculate. I mean, last week, it didn't stop you from almost libeling Rebecca Brooks.
That's true.
Did anybody pick up on that? Luckily, his next sentence in context...
Allegedly.
No, he didn't. Unfortunately, he didn't say allegedly, but he then made a joke of it. But in context, I do believe that Trevor accused her of something, which I would have said was libelous, but he then qualified it with a gag.
Right, yeah. Okay.
But I'm tsh.
Yeah. Do you remember what you said now?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to repeat it, because then it'll be libel again. Or, you know.
And you will have said it.
Well, no, because you're quoting another source, aren't you?
Yeah, okay. Out of context.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, out of context, you may have thought last week that he called her a liar, which is a very dangerous thing to call anybody who's litigious. But luckily he then qualified it saying she's a liar because she's able to control her bodily functions around...
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yes,
Yes, okay. Around Mr. Murdoch.
Yeah, it's a very loose way of, you know. But
it's clear deception.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Now, yeah.
Swallowing your own sick and not giving. But yeah, Brown Wrong was. I had to go and buy that. I hate to give him any money, but it was just astonishing. It was like Gotcha. In fact, it contained the same number of different letters as Gotcha.
Or Freddy Star at My Hamster. You know.
Well, actually, there's a couple more in there.
Yeah,
no, Gotcha's got six
there,
letters, and Brown Wrong is just six letters moved around. B R O W N and then a G.
Oh, okay. Some of the yeah.
Nice and simple.
Glad you spelled that out for us, Trev.
For the Muppets.
Yeah, not just that. I'm thinking, what, are all our new listeners Countdown fans or something? What the hell?
Okay, sorry. But yeah,
but yeah, basically, I think your point, Trev, is that, you know, the Sun have tried to defend their indefensible behaviour by just saying, no, we didn't. So there, and you agreed to it. Nah, pretty much.
Yeah, like
it's piss poor.
There were a bunch of 5-year-olds all lined up, waiting to go into school, and I ran down the queue of 5-year-olds with a 2x4 and smacked them all across the face. But one of the kids was shorter, so I missed him. So if you accuse me of hitting him, I didn't. So I'm fine. You should let me off. I shouldn't say that, really. I live opposite a school.
And it's been a strange spate of gentlemen running down the line, smacking them in the face, yeah?
Have you informed the local force of that? Because I'm sure under the agreement that you need to tell people about that, don't you?
I have not actually beaten any children about the face and neck with a piece of wood.
Abby, don't deny the other charges.
But yeah, I think we've got an opportunity with the closure of the News of the World, actually. I know it's a cynical move, and hundreds of blameless people have been made jobless, along with a few repugnant weasels. And it was done just to save kind of the queen of the
empire
weasels. Yeah, but I think it represents an opportunity to puncture a worthless argument of populism. Because lots of people bought News of the World, and they always use that as a mandate to justify their trashy, vacuous journalism and sleazy, voyeuristic tactics.
But I mean,
the Sun does exactly the same, but now News of the World is gone. So.
But it's part of the irony, though, of the whole thing, isn't it? You had all these, you know, Sun readers outraged by the... not that they read it in their own paper, because, of course, Sun didn't cover it at all, really, but absolutely outraged that the News of the World could hack into people's phones and do such despicable things. But hang on, I'm reading a paper produced by the same group. Surely one part can't be clean and the other part not. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? It winds me up that, you know, people still just go out and buy the Sun.
Yeah, they're not actually ignoring it that much.
Excuse me.
Just not taking a stand so much. But I don't see that there's loads of protests about the News of the World. Like, just because it's not there, it doesn't mean we now demand it to be there. There's not protests. There's not legions of fans demanding to know what Kerry Katona is up to. There's no Facebook campaigns insisting that Sunday isn't Sunday without Peter Andre and Jordan bitching at each other on alternate weeks.
But, you know, I'll soon be able to read that in the Sunday Sun, so it'll be fine.
That's true.
Well, you got it in the Star anyway. What is there?
Yeah, but come on, John, the Star. You know, it's just
the
not
people.
It doesn't have the same quality, does it? As News of the World.
Oh, well, you know. But it's there. It's all there. I mean, that's what the tabloids are there for. There's no serious news in any of them. Let's be honest. If you want decent news, you usually watch the telly because you actually get it on time rather than what happened yesterday. Yeah. It's that time in the podcast where we revisit Guess the Year.
Yes.
Excellent.
What is the score?
The scores on the doors are 3-1, but because of your technicality and nonsense, even though you didn't even ask Trev the questions, despite the fact I'm not here, it's 3-3.
Ooh.
No, I've got two actual wins.
Yeah, he actually had two actual wins.
No, it's 3-3. It's absolutely definitely 3-3.
Oh, no, you're going to make me listen to it.
Or it's 4-4. It's definitely we're all square.
Well, you're going to have to reach an agreement
quickly.
Reese
and not you. So
sorry?
Are you discounting the one that I won against Reese?
No, I'm counting the one that I've won.
So should we just say four all, and then...
Yeah.
That's all right.
We could say 4-2, you know. I'm quite happy to say 4-2.
This would be the time to say, hey guys, if you want to tweet us, if you know the answer to this, you can tweet us at ThinkRant and let us know who is actually winning. And I swear, somebody better find out for next week what the true score is, okay? And also, you can visit our website, which is thinkrant.blogspot.com.
Look at you with your segues into promoting the site today.
Yeah, well, hey, yeah, I'm on fire tonight, okay?
Absolutely.
So let's get into Guest of the Year. For those of you who don't know the rules, because we've got a lot of new listeners, this is how it works. I've picked a year from the last decade or three, and I'll read out some clues, which Steve and Trevor will take in turns to guess. If they guess wrong, they're locked out of the next clue. Play at home. Tell us how well you do. No Googling. That's especially for Steve and Trev. Here we go. July the 26th. The Maldives receive full independence from Great Britain. No. August the 1st. Cigarette advertising is banned on British television. April 28th, US troops are sent to the Dominican Republic by President Lyndon B. Johnson for the stated purpose of protecting US citizens and preventing alleged communist takeover of the country. I see you guys are playing this a bit more serious now rather than just...
I'm going to say Steve, and I'm going to say 1976?
No.
Trev, 1964?
No.
Are we both locked out now?
Well, no. I mean, there's no point locking you both out, is there? September the 25th, Tom and Jerry cartoon series makes its worldwide broadcast premiere on CBS. July 27th, Edward Heath becomes the leader of the British Conservative Party. October 3rd...
1970?
Nope, sorry, you're locked out. October 3rd, Fidel Castro announces that Che Guevara has resigned and left the country. March 23rd, Gemini 3, NASA launches the United States' first two-person crew into Earth orbit.
Steve, 1966.
Nope, sorry. March 8th...
Trev, 1967.
Nope, sorry. March 8th. 3,500 United States Marines arrive in South Vietnam, becoming the first American combat troops.
Steve, 1968?
No.
Nope. Trev, 1965.
Yes! Trevor gets it.
You can have that one, Trev.
I don't think either of us really covered in glory in that one.
I don't think so.
I think you did very poorly, to be honest.
68, 67, 64.
You launched into the 70s, Steve.
Well, I couldn't...
The first clues are hard.
Lyndon B. Johnson. I don't know my American president, shamefully, so no. I just took a bit of a punt.
The last two remaining clues, I don't know if they would have helped, but February 21st, Malcolm X is assassinated in Manhattan, and Julie Andrews wins Oscar for the best actress in Mary Poppins.
No, they wouldn't have helped.
Oh, well. So it's just a guessing game this week.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Although I think it's quite telling that you think that the best clue in all of that for us is Mary Poppins.
What can I
you
say?
That's...
Well, it was like when I did back, 1985, Back to the Future, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping, and 1983 for Return of the Jedi. I thought you guys would know things like this.
I did know 1985 for Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. See, exactly.
And I got The Return of the Jedi. But Mary Poppins is not really on the same level with those two films. We need to have a serious conversation about your cinematic history, man.
Okay. Well, actually, it started off as a trick question because the film was released in 64 and it was meant to put people off because they got the Oscar in 65, but it doesn't matter. Okay.
Mary Poppins and Anorak sat opposite me.
No, obviously I do research to do the Guest of the Year. Okay, now we have another story I wanted to do. Now, Steve, you think this story's slightly old, and I know it's not brand new, but I wanted to talk about it because it might get a conversation going, which is a film released, The Human Centipede 2. Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Oh, no.
Film or the story?
Well, the film, but no, okay. It's been refused to classification from the British Board of Film Classification. And I just wanted to kind of say, well, what do you think about this in a kind of, you know, as a universal idea of, you know, censorship of films? Does it, should it play a role in society?
See, didn't we talk about this actual film as well a couple of weeks ago?
No.
Because I remember this, I remember reading the story a couple of weeks ago, and I remember talking to people about it, and we, I thought it was on the podcast, and we talked about...
Do you remember it, Trev?
Putting it in an R-rated film, maybe. selling it out of sex shops and stuff, and...
See, oh. This is one of the problems with having a podcast with three dudes in, two of which have really piss poor memories, and one of whom clearly doesn't pay attention.
Shit. Okay.
Was that not the case?
Let's
go over it quickly then.
Yeah, so because I wanted to talk about what were your views, and we might just all might kill this straight away, but I just want to get your views, Steve, on what you think of, you know, these so-called video nasties.
Well...
Do you think there should be this absolute censorship where basically a film is not available legally within a country?
I don't think there should be absolute censorship. I think, you know, people should have a choice if they want to watch it or not. But I think there should be very strict guidelines, age guidelines, about who can watch it.
But we kind of already got that. But all I'm saying is, should a film be banned outright?
I wouldn't say that, from what I've heard about The Human Centipede Part 2... that it warrants an 18 certificate. It warrants something more than that. Because it's...
I don't understand. More than an
18? Well, yeah. Just purely because... A different type of rating there. Maybe not an age rating. I don't know. But for me, I don't see the point of just these purely indulgent, sadistic films, which is exactly what this is.
Hmm.
I've got absolutely no desire to see it. I wouldn't want to see it. But if somebody else wants to go and see it, well, fair enough. But I think it should just be clear that what you're going to see is depraved.
But they have kind of introduced those things on the back of films now that tell you a little bit more than just the age rating.
Not in cinema, though.
Okay. On DVD.
I think what's dodgy about this one, though, is that it's a fella who's... it's about a guy who's obsessed with the first film and then goes on to do weird shit. Like happened in the first film. If you wanted to do a horror film about an obsessive nerdy fan who does weird stuff, surely it would have been a much better idea to make the film on which he bases his horrific acts fictional, rather than people who are a bit nerdy and obsessed and weird about The Human Centipede. And to be fair, if you own a copy of The Human Centipede, you are nerdy, obsessed, and weird. And then make it about people just like them, you know? It seems deliberately encouraging that kind of mindset, like it's provoking the mentally fragile with a stick, like stabbing them with a pencil. You know? Mm. See, you're a bit like this, and you could abduct people and do weird stuff to them, couldn't you? Hey. I think it was after some kind of publicity like this, and it's got it. And it's not censorship because they're still they're voluntary codes. It's just that the industry works.
And there's nothing that's not being released on the internet either.
No, I know it's available, but it's available illegally because our laws say that shops shouldn't sell illegal films or films without classification. I'm not saying it's not possible to get hold of if you really wanted, but you know you can't walk into Asda and buy it.
That's a good thing though, because I do think people who are vulnerable to such things would be able to get hold of it. And
I'm not interested in watching it at all.
Pure sadistic violence on the scale of what this film is. I don't see why anyone would want to watch it or make it. But that's just me, obviously subjective.
I just think that your opinion on it has not really got any bearing on whether you think that
I don't think it should be banned. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it should be banned outright, because I think the first thing you do by banning something outright, same as prohibition, you're just giving everyone, oh, I'll go and watch it then, don't I? You know, or that is exactly doing. You're giving it a mystique, such as A Clockwork Orange or something like that, where, you know, every teenage boy wants to go and download it and watch it because it's a bit dangerous, isn't it?
Hmm. Do you want, just as a segue, I've done a bit more research, do you want to get an idea of the list of films that have been banned and that are still banned in the UK? When I say banned, as in without classification.
Yeah. Life of Brian was banned, wasn't it?
Before yeah. we get away from Human Centipede 2, I just want to say to the listeners, if this does sound familiar to you, like as if you think that we've discussed this on a previous episode, that's just that you imagining that this is, in fact, a sequel to something else that's happened before, very much like it. Because we're talking about sequels, it's gone all meta. It's weird in your head. Maybe you should get some help.
Hang on a second. If you've heard us speak about this before, we love you because you're a regular listener. Let's not insult them, yeah? Right. Personally, I just can't go with banning anything. I think things should just be available if people want them. I think the BBFC is a bit of a weird organisation in that it has this kind of power to stop things going into shops. I mean, a lot of the things they banned in the past, now,
Exorcist.
We're like, yeah, The Exorcist.
I think it's the BBFC is kind of a bit of a hangover from a bygone age, to be honest with you. Where, you know, Moral Decency and Mary Whitehouse, for example, were...
Well, like the Obscene Publications Act, which is like their Bible, basically, which they stick to. But The Exorcist, Clockwork Orange. Now, have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen Clockwork Orange.
What did you think about that?
I quite like it, to be honest with you. I don't think it's brilliant, but I do quite like it.
Mm. Do you think it had artistic merit?
I think it did have artistic merit, yeah.
Okay.
It was almost a... I've only seen the once, but I kind of had the impression it was almost a parody of itself. The whole ultra-violence thing was ironic rather than being...
That's with a lot of stuff, though. I find with Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, but exactly. Grand Theft Auto, prime example, you know, that would have been banned had that type of computer game been available at the time, because, you know, beating someone to death with a dildo, that's terrible.
But they're still trying to ban it now.
Yeah, precisely.
That's my favourite bit of the game. Right?
So, you know, I think it's kind of a hangover from a bygone age when such things would have sparked moral outrage. But I think we live in a bit more of a liberal society now where, you know, grown-ups are allowed to make decisions for themselves.
But we can't be that liberal because we are still banning stuff.
Sure. Well, when was the last one banned? I think it's been a long time since I think it was banned outright.
Yeah,
guys, I think the dildo bashing thing, that was Saints Row 2 rather than Grand Theft Auto.
He is right.
I know my...
he knows his violent video games. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. So, just that there's only three, according to the ultimate source of knowledge, Wikipedia, which is Mikey, which was banned in 93 to present, and that was banned because of... the aftermath of the Jamie Bulger killing. Yeah. Because the film depicts a child as a killer. I think that could be unbanned now, to be fair. To be honest, I don't think it should have been banned back then. It had just been bad timing, and it would have had negative press. And Grotesque, 2009, banned due to high level of sexual torture.
Yeah, I think that's the ground which they... A banning Human Centipede on as well. I think there's like a rape scene in there or something. It was too graphic.
Kind of like this American puritanism, because in America you can have violent films and no one flinches, but then as soon as you put a bit of sex in there, everyone goes absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of do think it's a bit ridiculous. You know, you can see someone being, you know, eviscerated and having their guts spilled out and, you know, and... having bits chopped off, and
whereas in Europe it's the opposite: sex, anything goes. Yeah. Violence, not so much.
You guys seen that film? This film is not yet rated, or this movie is not yet rated.
No,
It's a movie-length documentary about the American. I can't remember the name of their board, but their version of the BBFC. And in America, their power is terrifying. How they can close down films and studios if they want to, just by deciding what can get released where and how many screens it'll open on.
Aren't these the guys you get on the back of Family Guy all the time?
Very likely. Oh, yeah.
But I'd have thought that America, you know, having this freedom of speech, or this supposed brilliant freedom of speech, that would be, you know, people would just not be happy with that at all. So, just a couple of other... There was another one that's still banned, and this goes back to... But this is only banned on a technicality. Back to 89, Visions of Ecstasy, which is a short film, which was banned under blasphemy laws. So now that the blasphemy laws have actually been repealed, they could resubmit this, and it would be allowed. I have actually watched this film. And basically, it's just a nun rubbing herself up against Jesus dead on the cross. You know? Which, you know, I didn't even think it was artistic, to be honest.
How's that any more blasphemous than... and I know it was banned at the time. Is it Devils, it's called?
Oh, I don't know. But all I can say about it was, you know, it was a nun. They were trying to make it... Make it sexual.
That's every other Madonna video, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, of course, you know. Or Lady Gaga, you got to insult Catholic in there somewhere. But all I can say is I watched the full 11 minutes of Visions of Ecstasy, and I can say it's nowhere near as good as Anal Nuns 3. I don't know if that exists.
If it does now, you're going to be very embarrassed, aren't you, Jonathan?
I'm so going to Google that later. Okay, so I'm done with that. Well, we definitely didn't discuss... We may have brought that up.
We didn't discuss Anal Nuns 3.
No, but we didn't discuss the Human Centipede 2 in that much depth before. So we've done it justice now, because I thought it was interesting talking about censorship. Now, unfortunately, I still don't have jingles this week, because I haven't found a decent software replacement for the dodgy software that killed my system. But I will ask Trev, have you got a Catholic story this week?
I have.
Yay! Yay!
And there was much rejoicing.
Well, actually, there were a couple. There were a couple that were pretty much identical. Catholic agencies dropped us foster care providers over same-sex unions. Yay! They were obviously making out like it's a bad thing. Catholic adoption agencies in New York and Illinois as well were being closed down basically because they wouldn't respect. And they wouldn't foster out or adopt to same-sex couples.
Too bad.
And yeah, there's a couple of different stories basically saying the same thing, different angles on it, saying, look, it's dreadful, it's appalling, the children will suffer. Well, somebody please think of the children. But a better story than that is the Vatican newspaper says Harry Potter film champions values.
What?
Not the devil. On board with Harry Potter.
Shut up.
I'm telling you. Good reviews and everything.
So it's allowing you to watch it?
It may disturb younger audiences, but...
Yeah, sorry, what does the Catholic News Service have to say about this, Trev? Do they agree with the Pope?
I'm sure it's not the Pope. Like, he's got any clue what's going on with
no.
Harry Potter.
He's too busy trying to get his Austrian passport taken, photo taken, what with his silly hat.
Yeah.
Or he's trying to strain pasta through his mitre. It's basically, there's a fella writing for a Vatican newspaper who says, the story captured the imagination of millions of children around the world and got them reading books. So maybe it's about time we got on board and said it's not so bad. Well done. It's the 8th film.
Yeah, but this is the 8th film, though, where the hero dies and comes back to life. If nobody's seen or read the last Harry Potter book.
No, I have.
That is actually what happens.
Yeah.
But the film might be different. There certainly are differences.
Well, the fact there's two final films rather than one final.
Mm-hmm. And also, definitely read the last Harry Potter book and see the film. I tell you why, because Dobby bloody dies.
Dobby dies in the film?
Yeah, I know.
And in the book.
Yes, but did you just not listen to what I just said?
Well, I don't know what your point is.
I said read it, because Dobby dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watch the film, because
Dobby dies. I was heartbroken when Dobby dies.
Aww.
By the way, listeners, spoiler alert for 20 seconds ago.
I ain't re-editing that in, I'm not going to put in a disclaimer. In fact, I'm hoping that our listeners are so educated that they won't want to read such trash anyway.
We'll read it for you.
That's what we're here for.
But anyway, here's one interesting bit. They're saying Voldemort, he's really evil. Not because of all the clearly evil things he does, but because he's after eternal life without dying. Eternal life is reached through death, not without it. And Harry Potter... although he never declared himself a Christian, calls on the dark magician to mend his ways, repent for what he has done. I'm sure he didn't do that. And recognize the primacy of love over everything, so he will not be damned for eternity.
The problem is, like, they're picking, they're kind of picking up on a J.K. Rowling thing where she said that she has mixed in a bit of Christian theology in there. Yeah, most writers do, because they're just not very creative. So
yeah, well, the character had to. Well, I'm not going to say, just in case.
Who cares? I don't
care.
Care.
I don't want to ruin
just
bloody
for people.
That's me.
Spoiler, no.
It's a story mechanic that necessitates something similar to that other great fictional story, The Life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
I don't think Steve gives a fuck, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm kind of used to your irreverence by now, Trevor.
Yeah, yeah, because to be honest, like, every time we talk about Christianity, he just rips his headset off and throws it on and storms out.
You know. That's it. I'm done.
I mean, you'll notice on the PZ Myers interview, you know, Steve just went quiet all of a sudden. We didn't hear from him for the whole podcast. I had to find some, you know,
stock footage.
Some of you giggling like a little girl and just put it in randomly throughout. Ah, there you go. Are you done on that one?
Brilliant. Yep.
I can add a Catholic story for you as well, Trav, just something to make your blood boil at all. Because again, it's just a little bashing story, which we'll all agree with, and also how bad the Catholic Church is. Diocese in Ireland had in place a child protection policy between the years, I think it was 2006-2009, I think it was, yet still failed to report child abuse during that period, despite the fact they had a policy in there, despite the fact of, you know, everything that had gone on before, because, you know, by that point the whole paedophile priest scandal thing was already all kicking off in the middle of it. But yet, no, despite having a child protection policy, despite, you know, being aware that there were vulnerable children out there, they still failed to name paedophile priests. Shocking.
But, well, not that shocking.
But it is shocking. Every time I hear it, it's shocking. Because, I think the fact that it gets covered up and hidden away is purely disgraceful. And for me, as a Christian, and, you know, as someone who belongs to a church of the Catholic tradition and, you know, has priests, vicars, you know, I just find it absolutely deplorable that they can, that not only a priest would behave in that way, which, you know, they're human beings, admittedly, but the fact that another human being, another priest, bishop, whatever, can then cover that up.
That's the bit that disgusts
for that person. That's what disgusts me. Mm. Is yeah, you've got the initial outrage of the abuse, but the fact that this body, which is supposed to be there to protect vulnerable people, supposed to be there to, you know, be a moral high ground, a moral compass, systematically, time and time again, fails to do that and lets these bastards get away with it.
Yeah.
And Jerry Ratz was actually in charge of administering that policy.
Precisely.
Disgraceful. In fact, I think I can fairly confidently predict the Sun's next big headline sometime over the next week. Pope worse. Just to distract some hate from them.
Yeah.
See? We didn't do that either.
Okay. Oh, that's a good Catholic bashing. Hopefully we've, you know, kept our American listeners happy. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
All right, I'm going to bring this story up now because it seems that we're doing the religion thing. We may as well do this one, which is our friends at the Equality and Human Rights Commission. Now, the idea is there that they want people to be equal, and they want people to have human rights, which I think is a, you know,
fairly admirable.
Yeah, yeah. Until
I like that idea.
It's a great idea. But unfortunately, I don't know, it kind of went a bit skew-iff lately when they decided to review all of these cases where people were discriminated against because of their sexuality. By people who didn't agree with it on religious grounds. So we're talking the marriage.
Guys who went to the guest house?
No, not that one. The woman who didn't want to marry gay people anymore.
Right. When the registrar.
Yeah, the registrar. Even though it's kind of funny, somebody who believes in marriage working for a civil in civil partnerships. And also the guy who he was giving sex counselling, you know, to couples, and a gay couple came along and he refused to do it. This has all been revisited now, and they've started saying, "Well, we think this is wrong, and that maybe you know we need to respect the beliefs of the people who are being bigoted, basically."
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is Trevor Phillips. He's now heading up the commission. And I'm just going to quote him here, okay? "Our business is defending the believer. The law we're here to implement recognises that a religious or belief identity is, for the majority of people in Britain, an essential element of being a fulfilled human being and plays an important part in our society." Now, for me, the first sentence, I'm thinking, you know, maybe he didn't, you know, really think about that one too much, but he says his business as the equality and human rights head of that commission is to defend the believer. Well, I don't think so. It should be to defend everybody.
Yeah.
But what he said is he's made this big mistake, which a lot of people are making, which is that there's a difference between defending someone's beliefs and defending somebody's actions. And I think what he said is he seems to be under the impression that people's being able to discriminate is somehow stopping them from believing something, which I think is just fundamentally wrong, isn't it? I mean, you can believe that homosexuality is wrong. You can believe that until the cows come home. I respect your right to believe that. However, as soon as you discriminate against somebody, that's an action which I think is wrong. And so his argument is a bait and switch. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's nonsensical. It's like people are allowed to believe that people can be possessed by demons. That's fine. But if you break into a school and start trying to exorcise children with a whip, well, that's not the same thing.
Yeah. That's or burn them with a...
banger.
A cross. That has happened.
I know.
Yeah. You weren't around for that story, were you? It was quite a while ago. But yeah, so this is quite kind of scary now, because before they were taking this pragmatic line, which was like, hey, everyone just believes whatever they want, but the law says what you can and can't actually physically do, or do to other people, which is, I'm a big fan of, you know, your rights end where my face begins, or mm-hmm. whatever the saying is. Yeah, did I just completely botch that one, Trev?
No. It's right, but you have to bring up the idea, first of all, of somebody swinging their fist in your direction. Your right to swing your fist ends where my face begins. Not just your rights end where my face begins. You think you got rights? Look at my face.
Oh, thank you for that. I'll be waiting to listen to this back when I'm editing it, thinking, John, you're a cock. Great. But yeah, you got my point though. Everyone understood what I was saying, yes, which is the important thing. So yeah. So I just wanted to bring that one up because it was either gonna be that or how much of a bitch Nadine Doris is. So I went with that one. There you go.
Well, I've got a great one I'd like to bring up.
Yeah, go.
Divorce is too easy, says judge. This is in today's Metro. A senior family judge, Sir Paul Coleridge, warned about the huge problem of family breakdown. He was saying that it's easier to get a divorce than it is to get a driving license, and he blames it all on a shift in attitudes towards cohabitation and having children out of wedlock.
Hmm.
I want to say some things to point out how stupid this man is, but just repeating his own opinions does it better than I ever could. More divorce is the fault of people who never got married in the first place.
Well, I think he's made a sound argument.
A judge.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I ever committed a crime, I want him to be the judge. I'll just baffle him, saying, "Hey, the reason I murdered that person is those damn kids playing Grand Theft Auto." Hang on, there's already people saying shit like that. Anyway, right. Yeah. But yeah, what a cock. And this guy's a judge, you say?
Yep.
Bloody hell. Obviously, they've lowered the, you know, requirements to become a judge.
And he's a sir as well.
Well, I know for a fact they lowered the requirements to be a sir a long time ago. David
on,
bloody
name.
Jason. David Jason.
Oh.
National treasure. Oh, I just, you know. I
how
just
very
thought.
Dare you.
Well, you know, I knew I'd wind someone up the wrong way. I'm hoping to get hate mail, you know. I've had David bloody Mabus on the bloody go. And I've had other random people sending me shit on the email. Thanks, I'm enjoying it. Keep on sending me more crap. Have you received any crap in your mail, Trev?
No,
they seem to focus on me. What about you? Have you received...
No, I've never.
Oh, since PZ came on, apparently I'm now PZ's official mouthpiece or something. Because I'm top of the About Me page. Everyone says, oh, John, he must go and have dinner with PZ every other Friday or something. They're sending me whacked out shit all the time. Unbelievable. I'm not going to name names because you just want to be famous and I'm not going to do it.
Damn you.
Yeah. So, sorry, you finish on that one, Trev.
Yeah, and thank
you finish
for
on
being
your rant.
Yeah, that was my rant.
Email
stop,
filter.
Yeah, stop sending me weird email. That's probably just going
to
wind.
But talking of PZ, I did mention this to John the other day, Trev. I just want to quickly mention it here now. Having now been introduced to PZ and to his blog, I do tend to dip in and have a look, particularly because we follow him as on the ThinkRant Twitter feed, so I just will pick up what he's saying. And I went onto the blog, and there was a post on there which I just... I genuinely could not believe that in this day and age, you know, more so than people, you know, doubt the evolution, but these geocentrists, or whatever they're called, what a bunch of Fruit Loops! Seriously! I could not believe that people out there still existed with that mentality.
We should point out to listeners who don't know what it means that they think that the Earth is actually the centre of the universe and that everything else revolves around us, including the Sun and all the other planets. And they just do it in such a weird and complex way to make it look as though the planets are revolving around the Sun and the Sun is moving around inside a galaxy. In actuality,
precisely, and the whole arguments were just purely gobbledygook.
Well, I hate to be slightly contrarian here, okay, but
John's going to say believes the Earth is the centre of the universe.
I think the model we have of the solar system, where the Sun is at the centre and the planets revolve around it, is a very good model, and I think it's quite conclusive that we go around the Sun. However, if you just imagine for a second that we just looked at stars, you know, other stars and other galaxies for, you know, trying to gauge our position, considering that everything is moving away from us in a uniform method, in a uniform fashion, sorry, then you could, it may be, you know, a good thing to say that we are in the middle if everything's moving away from us.
May very well be at the centre of the universe. Very, very may well be. However, the Sun does not revolve around the Earth.
No, I know. But one of their arguments for the Earth being at the centre is that everything is moving away from us in a uniform fashion. But
that would say then that we were like the event horizon. It started here, didn't it?
Yeah, Trev, I understand that, okay? I'm not stupid. I understand. No matter where you are in the universe, the way the Big Bang happened, everything is moving away from everything. Yeah. I understand that. But that is one of their arguments. So it's an observation that supports both hypotheses, and you can. So I'm not, you know, it's easy to rubbish people.
I'm gonna hang my hat here. I'm gonna preferably come down on they're a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I so want it to be true that actually, you know, they suddenly find out that they got all the calculations wrong. And Stephen, the one thing he hung his hat on.
He was but like, if I was presented with the evidence and it was genuine and believable and plausible, then, yeah, I'd have to, you know, take my hat back down, put it back on and walk out very quietly and
put it back, cover your cock back up and walk out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's naked. I'm just glad he sat under the table.
Excuse me, don't mind me.
It's just that it's obviously the most complicated answer to everything. There are very simple, easy, beautiful answers to everything in cosmology that they're talking about, and they're just choosing the most complicated one because they like it best. It's the opposite of Occam's razor. Like Occam's electric razor, but the batteries run out.
Mm. But, Occam's, you know, I don't want to go and all upset you here, Trev, but I would just be quite interested to see why that the simple answer is necessarily the true one, you know?
That's true, but it's not only that. What I'm saying is, the simple answer is often true, and all the cosmologists and astronomers who've been studying this shit, they've found many other reasons to explain why the simple answer actually is true in this case.
Surely the simplest answer is just God made it all.
Oh, I haven't had a nosebleed for ages.
Sorry, this was my lesson. This is my lesson in saying that Occam's razor does not say anything about simplicity. It says the least number of unsupported and complications. So it's not simplicity. It's unfounded assumptions.
But the point is that in each of the cases where they're saying that Earth is the center, you have to add complications. Because the bizarre.
The orbit of Mercury is one of them, and you know, you got all this weird stuff going on. If the Earth was at the middle, you know, Mercury does this kind of like that.
Spiral.
Yeah.
The listeners can't see you doing that, John.
I forget. Right, this is turning. we're going to start doing a TV show next week. Trev, you're going to have to drive down here or something.
Or catch a train. Drive. People
or
are
fly.
Die.
Get your helicopter out. I'll
fly. Yeah.
Have I got time for a quick story?
Go for it.
This is Weldon Gilbert gets to watch his homemade child porn in jail. Yeah, this isn't a joke, okay? Basically, what's happened is there's this guy, Weldon, who's in prison for child porn. He obviously
what,
abused...
What, to get it?
No, he abused children and filmed it himself. So what's happened is he's in prison and his he's appealed, you know, which I think is fair enough. People should be able to appeal their convictions. And what he's done is he's decided instead of having a lawyer, he's going to defend himself. So that means he has access to all the evidence.
Yeah.
And so basically he's going to be allowed in prison a private room to review all this evidence, which is basically the 30 hours worth of porn that he filmed with children. So... You know, I'm not going to get all weird about this. I mean, this is just a great example of what we call grey area, you know. I'm all for people having...
the right to defend themselves.
Right to an appeal. Right to, you know... But you could say something like, well, if you're defending yourself and you're in prison, do you get to go and interview the person that you allegedly raped or whatever? You know, yeah. It's like it can get kind of ridiculous. So... I'm just wondering if either of you had some quick common sense on how the law enforcers could do this, because apparently they've already drawn a line. You don't get to inspect the TV that you allegedly stole. So why, you know, how are they going to draw the line?
The nonces should be shot.
Nonces should be shot. Well, thank you very much, Steve. Yeah.
Right. Did I tell you I bought the Daily Mail?
Yeah. Right to appeal. Yeah, if you want to appeal, just put your lips around these two barrels here.
Appeal this, bitch.
Yeah, sorry, Trev, do you have anything sensible to say?
It makes me feel a bit weepy because I can't see a way around it that doesn't cripple and blunt our legal system. It's nasty, this is in the US, by the way.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that obviously the inference here is that he's going to be getting off watching the videos back. I don't know, is there some way he can review
it.
Them maybe with someone else in the room?
No, the thing is, because he's entitled to privacy as part of the appeal process, okay? I know what they should do, okay? Before he goes into the room, make him rub his hands in chilies.
Good man.
That's how I'd solve the problem. He has his fundamental rights respected, and if he jerks off, he's going to be asking for some Savlon later.
He might like that.
Oh shit, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
He's a pervert, he might love it.
Or make it like a scene. What was that Jean-Claude Van Damme film, you know, where they put the hands
kickboxer.
Make him put his hands in glass.
Yeah.
If he's gonna like that, then, you know, I don't know why he just doesn't want to stay in prison, to be honest. There you go.
You see, that's just explained it all to me, why you equate Return of the Jedi, Back to the Future, and Mary Poppins. You watch Jean-Claude Van Damme films. The answer's there.
For me, all analogies are just basically comparisons to films that I've seen. I can't create my own original analogy. So I'm just waiting for someone to do time travel so I can bring Time Cop into it.
Why would you do that?
You know?
Why?
The one and only film of his I've seen all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Kickboxer all the way through, so you missed a bit with the glass and the...
Oh, what?
And Bloodsport, you missed a bit where he gets the salt in his eyes. You missed that bit as well. Oh, Trev, you're missing out on some classic acting here, mate.
He actually made a film called Double Impact.
The films and that.
So, you know, yeah. I'm not a massive fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I did like Time Cop, though. Simply because...
Okay, where did his ship go?
What do you mean his ship?
He gets in a ship, it gets flung down a rail towards a wall,
and then
he just steps out into the past. Where'd the ship go? And why is the wall there?
You see, I find this quite funny because I was slating Doctor Who, okay? And he was like going, duh, it's sci-fi, anything can happen. And then now you're getting all picky about Time Cop.
Yeah, the frame which he sits in, Trev, is made out of timey-wimey type stuff.
Timey-wimey stuff.
Trev knows what I'm talking about.
So it can't go through the
crack in the wall. To the alternative reality where Billy Piper is.
We're going to have a Time Cop Doctor Who throwdown on before.
I'm so not going to be backing Time Cop. I'll find another time travel film that's better. Okay, right, now we've descended into popular culture. I'm going to end the podcast. So I just want to say to people,
it's not a Time Cop, John. It's not popular culture.
Okay. just culture. Right. We're gonna sign off now. I'm probably gonna cut this out, to be honest, because it just sounds shit. Sorry to the live listeners. But okay, yeah.
Hey,
don't
it's the best part of the podcast.
No, it's not. Okay. Come see us Monday night. I'm gonna try and be a comedian. It's my first time, and Trevor as well. I want lots of people to turn up and not laugh at Trev, because I want him to panic and freak out or something. That'd be so cool. The Promised Land in Cardiff, 7 o'clock onwards. I think it's like £3 entry. It's really cheap.
£3, yeah.
It's not just me and Trev. There's going to be other really funny people there. So definitely come along. It's going to be awesome. And you're raising money for no charity at all. So
get in there.
Get in there. I'm trying to guilt Dean into maybe, you know, doing a donation or something, I don't know. But so thanks very much for people listening, and we'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Cheers, bye-bye.